The magic island of Euclidea, home of a colony of mad scientists, would be a weird enough place to visit on a sightseeing tour. But it becomes fearful indeed to the little party of worldly people imprisoned there. When Mrs. Patricia Gregory set out to look for her young daughter, lost 14 years ago in the shipwreck, she little dreamed of the dangers her party would encounter. Captain Tex Bradford, friend of Patricia Gregory and organizer of the expedition, young Jerry Hall, amateur radio operator who begged to accompany them, and Joan Gregory, the daughter, are now prisoners on the island, or rather inside the island, as their quarters are down in the depths of this man-made structure. Left to their own devices after their escape and recapture, our friends soon discover that there is little pleasure in their imprisonment. They are nearly maddened by the constant echo of their voices in the steel chambers.
Well, I know things don't look any too hot for us right now, but we've got to keep our chins up.
Oh, you've been wonderful, Jerry. I think yours is the strongest will of all.
But I'm willing to admit that I'm not apt to be much help about getting us out of this place.
Jerry is quite right in putting forward a brave face, even though intelligent thought would rule it useless.
Now, look here, Joan. Nobody's going to rule my face useless.
My reference was to your attitude rather than your appearance. However, if we are to enter into discussion of the matter, exactly what value does your face have?
Did you hear that? What value does my face have?
Now, Jerry, don't get excited and start an argument with Joan. We can occupy our time better than that.
Oh, it would seem so, Tex, and yet we must talk about something, and there's so little to be said.
But Joan, let you and I go in my room at the end of the hall where we can figure a way out of this thing.
I'm quite willing to confer with you if you will confine your conversation to the bounds of logic, Gerald.
Gerald? Huh. This is going to be a fine argument, Gerald. Oh, well, come on.
Take a look at the pigeons while you're there, will you?
Oh, we'll make sure they're all right.
You will make sure of nothing, my young fool.
G-47.
Precisely.
We were merely going into the next chamber for a discussion, G-47.
Then be on your way. I have something to say to your mother and Captain Bradford.
Come right on in, G-47.
Your attempt at courtesy is only a ridiculous gesture. I shall come and go within these chambers as I please.
Well, is it all right if we go on now?
No. Nothing you could do would be right. But you have my permission. Go.
Come on, Joan. You know, that guy gives me the willies.
Jerry, the willies are... or what?
Oh, so you forgot that already. Here I waste a lot of time trying to teach you English, and now you forget what the willies are.
I am sorry, Jerry, but your words are so strange to me.
No more than this blame island is strange to me. Hey, this door's open. That means old Geometry's been in here taking himself a good look around.
We cannot prevent that. He rules Euclidea.
Yeah, I know it. Well, let's go in and sit down. Maybe we can figure some way out of this mess.
These apartments are very comfortable, are they not?
They are not. This blame echo thing is driving me crazy. Nothing is comfortable that you can't get out of when you want to.
You may be right.
You know I'm right.
No, Jerry. I know you think you are quite correct in everything you do, but
I'm getting along all right. Now listen, old G-47 isn't calling on your mother and Captain Bradford for any tea party. He's going to threaten them with something or else promise them something to get Texas formula. And we may have to work fast to figure another escape.
But there is no opportunity for escape now.
That's what you said before, and we got away.
But we did not, as you would say, stay got away.
Stay got away. Oh, what's the use? Now, if we only get another chance to use those pigeons. Hey, Joan, the pigeons are gone.
Jerry, they are not here.
No, I'll say they're not here. But how did they get out?
G-47.
But we'd have heard him moving around in this echo stuff here.
Not G-47. He would make no sound.
No sound? In this place?
Did you hear any footsteps when he came to the door?
Golly whiskers, Joan, you're right. It didn't make a sound. But when we walk around here, it sounds like a truck on cobblestones.
We have been talking for a considerable period of time in Mother's apartment.
Uh-huh. Long enough for him to do anything he wanted to.
There have been no homing pigeons on Euclidea, to my knowledge, which is, of course, limited to the confines of information our scientists have stipulated as the maximum advisable for consumption at my age.
Right with you, Joan. Those old boys have told you as much as they thought a kid could swallow.
Gerald, I am not a kid. A kid.
Yeah, I know. Don't tell me again. A kid is a young goat. Now, if you'll stop trying to educate me and listen to reason for a while, we might figure a way out of this.
But there is no way out. G-47 will not relax the vigilance of the Euclideans again. Our case is particularly hopeless since our escape.
Why any more since that?
G-47 will now realize our potentialities and be doubly anxious to secure the captain's formula.
Well, he can figure all he wants to. But G-47 or no G-47, we'll get off this funny island someday, and I'll bet it won't take long either.
It seems almost impossible that so stupid a person would be given such splendidly continuous vocal equipment.
Jerry, he heard you.
Oh, what of it? He didn't hear anything he doesn't know.
It would need a man far more ignorant than any on Euclidia to learn anything new from one of your mental caliber, Hall. In a very short space of time, you may understand more fully what I mean. In a very short time, a very short...
Gee, he's gone. Through that steel wall, without a sound.
Jerry, you should know that G-47 did not go through that steel wall.
Well, it looked like he did.
And even after your experiences with these Euclidean scientists, you are willing to accept the appearance for the fact?
Oh, yeah, he didn't go through the wall at all.
To be sure he did not.
To be sure nothing of this screwy island. But I guess I know what happened. He stepped around a sharp corner in that hallway, and the polished steel made his reflection look like he was passing through.
Now your mental processes are functioning again.
Yeah, but no matter how old geometry got out of here, it's just another good sign that he knows a lot of tricks we'll have trouble catching up with.
Jerry, listen.
Yeah, that's a signal to submerge, isn't it?
It is, and that would mean one of two things.
Well, I know it means the island is in danger of being seen for one thing, but what's the other?
Something which would mean the end of all our hopes.
Huh? They're going to drown us?
I think not, but it might be as well.
Hey, listen, I don't like the way you say that. What goes on here?
Here they are in here, Pat.
Oh, Joan, Jerry, we've the most wonderful news.
Observation would lead us to conclude that information of an optimistic nature would be welcome.
Joan's afraid things are looking bad for us.
Well, they don't look any too good. But with what we just found, there's every chance we'll get away from this island.
What is it?
The very thing we've been looking for every hour since we landed on this mad island. Look.
A little black notebook. Well?
The diary of the old sailor.
Is that it?
That's it, boy. The old sailor's diary. And if it's as complete as we think it is, we'll know as much about this island as the Euclideans know.
You will undoubtedly find much of value in that book.
It wasn't even hidden. After G-47 left the room, Tex and I started to get acquainted with our surroundings. And there, lying on a shelf in plain sight, was this book.
And that old sailor spent years here, didn't he, Joan? Years in which he studied this island and waited for his chance to escape, and made entries of all he learned in this diary.
That is true.
Then that diary should tell us all we need to know to plan an escape from this place.
Without doubt, it will tell us all we need to know to plan the escape.
But, Joan, dear, why do you sound so hopeless?
Well, Joan is so afraid of these people, she doesn't realize the chance this gives us.
Well, I don't know about that. When Joan puts on the graveyard look, she's usually got a pretty good reason for it.
But there couldn't be anything lacking in what this book means to us. We all agreed, and you were heartily in agreement with us on it, Joan, that if we could find this diary, it would quite possibly mean our escape.
Where did you say you found this book?
In Pat's apartment.
And the book was not concealed? No attempt had been made to hide it?
Why, no, dear. It was lying right in front of us.
Huh. You're right, Joan.
Maybe I'm thick, but I still don't see it. A book we wanted is still a book we want, no matter where it was found.
Even if it had been left where you could not help but find it?
Huh? Where we... Oh, golly whiskers.
Joan, dear, we didn't find the book. It was simply handed to us.
Yes, Mother.
Then that means just one thing. The book isn't going to do us any good.
Looks like that's it. These Euclideans have figured out some way of being sure we'll stay here as long as they want us, no matter how many books we find.
That is the situation to be faced.
Oh, and I thought the little diary meant so much.
Don't look so downhearted, Pat. That diary means plenty. We're going to get off this man-made torture city someday, and when we do, we can use that information to further scientific work in the right direction back home.
That's all swell, but Joan's got the idea we're not going to get back home.
Did you hear that?
That signal gong of theirs. They're going to submerge this island or do some more of their tricks.
I think it meant more than that.
What is it?
Don't act so mysterious, Joan. We must know all that you know about this island and know it as quickly as possible if we're to have a chance to escape.
I will tell you, Mother, the instant I'm certain as to the meaning of that signal. If it was what I believe it to be, It will be repeated in 60 seconds.
Well, if that's some special signal that we don't know anything about, let's keep quiet when it starts again so Joan can tell exactly what it is.
In the meantime, let's... Oh, so they took the homing pigeons.
Yes, Captain Tex. The little pigeons are gone.
And with them went our strongest hopes for escape.
Well, I didn't think they'd let us keep them anyway.
Now, don't be too downhearted over the loss of those birds. These scientists won't hurt them any. They'll give them every care and attention because they want to study them. And the pigeons have done their work for us long ago. You all seem to forget that Johnson is on his way to the States with our position, and he knows where to get my formula. All we have to do is to hang on until he can have that formula compounded and organize a rescue party. We can expect rescue in less than 3 weeks.
One. Two. One. Yes, that is the signal. And the position Johnson has for this island is quite useless.
Useless? Why, Joan?
That was the signal to move the island.
You mean to submerge it?
No, I mean to move it. Move it along the floor of the ocean for 1 mile or 25 miles or 1,000 miles.
Move this island? But, gee, golly whiskers, if they can move this whole island, how will anybody find us?
That is our hopeless position, Jerry. No one will ever find us.